We're not like a, you know.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a geeky boners episode. We're going to talk about all the latest nerdy stuff that's got us jazzed. Jizzed? Jazzed.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Bye.
And Molly Glover.
Whomp.
And if you couldn't tell from the sound effects,
hit the table.
It's a geeky boner episode. If you're new to the podcast, you're wondering what the fuck that is. Geeky boners is where we do a periodic episode where we talk about the nerdy stuff in our lives that's got us very excited.
Turgid.
Sexually.
It doesn't have to be a sex thing, but no, it doesn't have to not be a sex thing.
Right.
It
just like anything else, it could be a sex thing, I guess.
Yeah, anything can be a
sex
thing.
It's never been a sex thing, but that doesn't mean it won't be in the future, I guess.
It's a euphemism.
There we go.
Anyway.
Tim?
Yeah. Hi.
Tell us about your boner.
Sure, I'm going to tell. My boner is Peter Falk.
Oh.
No, it's Columbo. It's
nice.
Columbo. About, I don't know, a month ago or so, my eldest, Alex, we watch TV together. The family watches TV together most weeknights. And we were trying to figure out something to watch. And he's like, well, how about Columbo? And Pat and I are like,
what?
Columbo? He's like, yeah, everybody on the internet's talking, you know, everybody, whatever. And I've been hearing all sorts of stuff about Columbo on the internet, and I'm interested to watch it.
He is very memeified right now, Columbo.
He is.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, all right. And I vaguely remember maybe watching one or two episodes of Columbo back when I was very young.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Pat had watched most of it, and she was like, oh, I enjoy Columbo. We can watch it. And they were TV movies. That's the thing. Columbo was a series that was like on a rotation with like three other series, and they would only do them once a month. Mm. And it was actually a 90-minute show.
Yeah.
So, but it only happened that like a season is like six or seven episodes.
Yeah. 70 to 98 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Says Wikipedia.
The thing that's fascinating about it, especially compared to the ones you watch today, is with Columbo, it always starts with showing you the murderer commit the crime.
Yeah.
And cover up the crime. And so the entire episode is really devoted to how is Columbo going to figure out that this person committed the crime?
Like poker face.
And then how is Columbo going to catch this person once he knows they committed the crime? So part of the game in our house is to decide when Columbo knows that the person has committed the crime. And it's very interesting because, you know, sure enough, at some point, somebody will be like, oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm. He got it.
He knows right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like Columbo walks in, looks around the room, and we're like, he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. Mm-hmm. Now he's just got to figure it out. But the other thing that's really fun about it is the guest stars that are on this show, especially as it progresses, get more and more well-known.
Sure.
You know, so,
like Law and Order.
Yeah. So like there's Vincent Price who shows up on an episode. He's not even the murderer. Most of the guest stars, like the big name guest stars, are the killer.
Well, of course, just like Law and Order.
Yeah.
Dong dong. But he's not even the murderer. He's just like a guest star who shows up in a couple of scenes. Just some guy. But you know, when George Hamilton shows up, well, he's definitely the murderer.
Well, yeah. Look at him.
I've heard the genre described as a how catch 'em.
Yeah.
That's what Poker Face. Yeah. Yep, definitely. Yeah. That's why people refer to her. And people refer to her as being very much like a female Columbo just because of her, you know, kind of, I don't know, looking around, like kind of attitude of like, sounds good, but
and
like the, ruminating.
And the, also the very much a, oh, just one more thing.
The thing
what bothers me
I almost believed you. Yeah.
Yeah. They both do that.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy is also in an episode. episode.
Did he do it?
He did do it. Mm-hmm. He did do it.
Nice.
But see, that's not a spoiler.
No.
Because you know that
right.
who did it within about the first 5-10 minutes mm-hmm. of the show.
And what did he do?
He murdered an older doctor who was going to stop his research.
Oh, yeah.
And scientist gone bad.
The needs of the many yeah. outweigh the needs of the life of the one.
That's right. That's yeah. right. That seems to be his theory there. Mm-hmm. So it's just been, it's been kind of fun. So, I mean, it's a 70-minute episode, and usually we get through only like one a night. So even though there's only about 60 of them, we're about halfway through the, sure. the Columbo.
That's a part-time
run.
Job.
Yeah. It is a part-time job to watch Columbo. And it's Peter Falk is really enjoyable. He's good at being Columbo. And it's funny to watch my neurodivergent kids talk about, like, wow, Columbo is super neurodivergent. And we're like, yes. And nobody knew that's what he was when they were making this show. They just thought, we'll make him quirky. And the episode we watched recently also, if you're interested in seeing how things have changed since the 1970s, they had a situation where a ambassador from a country that it was totally not Saudi Arabia, and everybody in his embassy were played by white people.
Oh, oof. God.
And yikes. You're just like, they didn't even, it didn't even occur to him this was a problem.
Yeah.
It didn't, never for 1 second did it occur to them that they were doing something wrong.
The 70s.
Yeah. And you're just like, if they made this exact same episode today, they would cast it with all Arab actors.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, and ideally.
Or, you know, except for the guest star. If they couldn't find a big enough name guest star who was an Arab, maybe then they'd...
With guest star Peter Dinklage,
because at least they're representing something.
Well,
right?
No, he's not a member of the embassy. He's just someone else. He's in the episode.
I would totally watch a Columbo episode with guest star Peter Dinklage. That would
he did it. He did it too.
Well, of course, if he's the guest star, he did do it. That's just the way it
That's
is.
That's how it goes.
They had Janet Leigh on, who was the supposedly lead in Psycho until she's not.
Yeah.
The lead in Psycho.
Right.
Because.
Oh. Wee.
Anyway.
Spoilers.
Didn't she die in a boat?
No. No,
Who
that was Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Yeah. Natalie Wood hasn't been a guest star yet, but it could happen.
It could happen.
Could happen.
Well, not after a certain point in time.
No. She died after Columbo.
Oh, no, guys. I'm making bad, dark jokes. That was really mean.
Please refer
of me.
To last week's episode.
Sorry.
Too soon, Molly.
That was really terrible of me, guys.
Too soon. So, anyway, that's my boner. Nick,
nice.
Yeah. And Molly?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you tell us about your boner?
My boner is something I've been working on just here and there for a little while. It's nothing. So I almost didn't pick it because I wouldn't say that I'm like, you know, fired up about it or like, you know, super into it right now. But it is something I've been working on, which is books that I love to reread books. I've talked about that before. Some people rewatch movies and rewatch shows. I don't really do that. I reread books though. There are favorites I have that I love to reread over and over. And it has occurred to me that a lot of my books, I moved to electronic books, Kindle and audiobook a lot. And so I have a lot of books that I own via audiobook or on Kindle, sometimes both, often both, especially for these ones that I love. But I don't have any way to read them. I don't know, like if the electrical grid fails or like, let's say maybe like apocalypse is a big word. We'll just say like maybe society changes or in ways people don't like me to talk about.
Or Amazon turns out to be evil, Molly, and they lock you out of your account or they make you pay a subscription.
They just decide that I don't own it anymore because they get into a rights argument with somebody. Like there's all kinds of things that can happen.
All sorts of reasons.
All kinds of things that can happen. But for me, the biggest one is genuinely, I think that there is a significant chance in our lifetime that we will not have electricity anymore. I really do. I think that we're...
Maybe not forever, but maybe for like, you know, you might lose it for a week.
Or,
we have friends in Minneapolis who actually have had power without power for a week.
Or you might lose it and maybe we are now having to travel across the country by foot because we need to get... So I don't know. There's lots of... I'm not saying these are great scenarios and people don't like to hear about it, but it's the kind of stuff I think about. And one of the things I want to make sure I have are paperback versions of the books I love so that I could indeed pack at least, and it's not that many books. It's like The Gentleman Bastards. Currently, it's just a trilogy. The Gentleman Bastards trilogy. The Seven Blades in Black by Sam Sykes. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, which is a book I could see myself rereading many times.
The Expanse.
The Expanse. I have all of those. Probably Stormlight eventually here, yeah, but sure. Not the whole Cosmere, and that's for fucking sure. I have all the Mistborn books.
Yeah.
And it's just a thing for me to kind of like have them. I used to own tons and tons of books. And eschewed Kindle and e-reader for a long time, until one time I went on a week-long trip to the beach with my family and was like, I'm just gonna use this Kindle. I think it might have even been your Kindle,
yeah,
Nick.
I think so.
And you were like, just take it with you and just see what you think. And it was a game changer. Did you know that if you drop a Kindle on yourself while you fall asleep reading, it doesn't hurt nearly as much? Did you know that your hands don't cramp up reading a Kindle the same way they do a giant fucking 600-page hardcover book?
Okay, so it's a hardcover book. Because I was raising my hand to say, I would think dropping a Kindle on yourself would hurt more than dropping a book on yourself.
Nope, it weighs less.
They're surprisingly
very light these days. But you can read at night, you can read in the day, you can, you know, like it is great.
Batteries last for fucking
and so
ever.
I switched over to having pretty much exclusively Kindle books, and I got rid of a lot of our books, especially when we moved to this house. Just because I realized I wasn't reading them that often. But I have a lot of books that I've kept since the 90s because they're out of print and you can't get them anymore. And so I still have those. But, you know, I don't really care about the condition of books. I am a book abuser. They're my books. I'll do what the fuck I want with them. And and that means turning down the pages and cracking their spines and dripping food on them if that happens. I don't try to do it, but it happens. They're my books. Get over it.
Wow, Molly. Wow.
This is why I don't borrow. When people are like, you should borrow my book, I'm like, okay, well, if I wreck it, I'll buy you another one. If you're going to make me borrow this book, because I don't want
you, to. You like, you read in the bathtub. You read.
I do.
Out in the sun, in the yard with dogs. Like
I read while walking to pick up dominoes. Like I read all the time. But so yeah, that's my little, it's just like a little project just to kind of like,
yeah.
It's one small thing that I can do that makes me feel a little bit more prepared, that isn't quite doomsday prepping and isn't quite like something that feels like dramatic or makes people make fun of you. So that's nice.
Well, I'm just going to ask, because you didn't mention Stephen King at all.
Correct. There is one Stephen King book that there's two Stephen King books that I don't ever want to live without, and I already own them. One is The Talisman, and the other one is Bag of Bones. Those are my two favorites.
Not Wizard and Glass?
I love those books. I love The Dark Tower. That's seven books.
It's a lot to carry around.
I remember that story. I have read it over 20 times. Yeah. I'm not ever going to forget The Dark Tower, but there are other books that I like it's the actual writing that I like to read. Stephen King is something that I wouldn't say I've fallen out of favor with him. His recent books have been bad. His recent books have been fucking bad. Like, I DNF'd his latest book. It's a book of short stories, and I just stopped. I got about 40% in, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to actually return this to the store. That's how done I am. I don't care to read another word. It is so bad. It was so boring. It wasn't horror, and it wasn't fun. It was just awful. And so, you know, but these older books that I have that I love, you know, I've got a lot of Stephen King hardcovers that I haven't gotten rid of. The entire bottom shelf of our bookshelf, a bookshelf of books, is all Stephen King hardcovers that I've had since I was like a kid. But, you know, that's just, it is what it is. And so we'll see how it goes.
I just wanted to ask because, you know, it wasn't on your list. And I was like, well, that's odd that nothing from Stephen King made the list.
My old Kindle, the one that you borrowed, Molly, I keep, like, I filled with books. Like, I just put, like, a shit ton of books on it and then, like, just took it off the Wi-Fi and took it off the the internet. Mm-hmm. And so they're all just, because you can, you know, if you have, like, a .mobi file or whatever, you can just put whatever books on it you want.
Yep.
Like a thumb drive. And so I just load it. And not just, like, pleasure reading, but I put, like, the Boy Scout handbook. Because a handy fucking book to have. That'll tell you anything.
It's true.
And a bunch of...
The unpleasantness that we are not talking about happens, you'll know how to start a fire.
Exactly.
Or like, if I was... if I wanted it for reference and our internet was out, I can go grab it and I have it right there.
It's the same reason I bought a suture kit to teach myself how to do sutures. It's just
it's a useful thing in an emergency.
Are good to have, and like you never know. So it's just, you know, I'm not storing jugs of water in the basement. That's that, you know, like I'm not, you know, I don't have go bags stashed in every room. I'm not nothing like that. But this is just a small thing that for me makes me feel like I'm pushing back the darkness just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm a diabetic, so I just know that, you know, if the worst happens, whatever, I'm screwed anyway. So whatever.
Nick.
Yeah.
Describe to Tim your boner, because I've seen it and I know what it is. Both your metaphorical one and your actual one.
Well, yeah, I assume.
Yeah.
I Molly kind of enabled me to spoil myself for a birthday gift.
I demanded it.
I bought an e-bike. Ooh. I bought a the brand is Specialized, but their e-bike series are called Globe. So I got the Globe Hall LT, long tail version. It's like a cargo bike e-bike. And the first time I test drove it around the parking lot, and then like out on like a quick 2 mile bike ride around the bike shop, I was like cackling with glee because it's so fun. It's so fun to ride.
What makes it fun to ride? Can I ask?
Yeah. So I had I put the assist. The assist goes from zero to five, right?
Okay.
And it only assists when you're pedaling. It doesn't.
You can't just sit on the bike and have it go.
I could if I bought a $35 throttle and put a throttle on it. But I, having felt the bike jump when I start to pedal, not jump physically jump, but like, you know, jump forward with energy as I start to pedal when it's on like three or higher, I can't see riding that bike with just a throttle and not my pedaling. I'm so accustomed to having my influence on the bike speed being my physical act of pedaling that detaching that seems weird. Mm-hmm. And like it'd feel like less control.
It's in a weird bike. Way. The whole point is for pedaling and getting exercise.
No, totally. And well, transportation. But yeah, I feel like when I put it at a one, it's a heavy bike. And I put it at a one. I feel like it is taking the weight of the bike out of the equation, and it just feels like I'm on like an easier bike ride. Like, it's not crazy. I still have to like use the gears, you know, for going up hills and stuff. And when it's at a three, I feel like I'm going way too fast, too easy. And I'll put it at a two if I'm like, it's a troublesome hill. Or if I forgot to downshift as we approached a stoplight and we were stopping and I'm stuck in a high gear and you can't change your gears while you're at a standstill, I'll bump it up to a two so that I can get that initial momentum to get across the street faster and safer.
It's the kind of thing, as you know, when we talked about just, you know, the other week, we talked about fat liberation and the world not being built for fat or bigger bodies, right? Like, that's a thing people don't realize with bikes is a big part of it. It's like, it's not just, oh, just get out there and bike. And it's like, sure. Well, but like,
yeah. And I had to do a ton of research to find a bike that would work. Not just for my weight, for my height too. Yep. And this bike is good for like 5'5" to 6'4", and the version I got with cargo is like nearly 450 pounds of cargo and passenger. And
so your legs are still, you're still getting a crazy good workout. I mean, we
went on like a, it was 8.5 or something, 8.5 mile bike ride the day I brought it home. And like, that was our first bike ride of the season. I haven't been on my other bike at all yet this year. And because allergies straightened to convergence, and I definitely felt it. I mean, for sure. It was, you know, a bike ride. I had to work to get uphill and stuff. Just a little bit easier, a little bit more likely. And I mean, I think the best part is that I can go further more than anything.
That's the thing.
Like, that's the thing is, like, if we want to go like downtown or to Northeast Minneapolis or bike to the Mall of America. I've biked to the Mall of America on my on my non-electric bike. I can do that. It's kind of a shitty bike ride. And it's a little bit further than I'd prefer. I'm going to arrive sweaty.
But like with it's more likely that you'll want to do that stuff. It's just more likely to get you and anything. I don't know. I feel like anything that is more likely to get a person to do exercise and to do and to be able to enjoy being outdoors.
Yeah.
Well, we still can.
It's, I mean, and it really, it's
well, eventually it's the only thing we'll be able to do.
That's, it's car replacement except for too. The heat. It's, I mean, Minneapolis is investing more and more in bike transportation resources. They're adding bike lanes all over. They're
definitely
adding,
trying to be less car dependent.
They're adding protected lanes where they can get it past the more conservative members of the city council and we live right on the Minnehaha Parkway, which goes from fucking St. Paul to Edina, basically, both, you know, side to side of in Minneapolis.
And now with the towing or with the cargo capacity of your bike, it means we can actually use it for stuff.
Right.
It's not just like, cool, well, I guess we can attach, like, we can use the dog trailer and try to load that up with stuff, and I'll try to bike my ass up this hill and like it just makes it's really exciting.
I was laughing because Nick was telling me about this a little bit before, and you've done a couple of social events in your backyard for vilification tennis and had a fire in the fire pit, and every time you've done it you've ended up having to go get more wood and lug the wood
from and it's a very
the store, and it's only a couple of blocks away, but they're long blocks, and and when you're lugging wood they
it's a
feel
half mile
a lot
of carrying 40 pounds of firewood.
I was like, well, great, now you got something that you can bring the firewood
Hell
home.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hell
I got a little front basket for it to put on, and then I bought a the back rack, which is like a double long rack. Is it has two spots to mount what's MIK. It's like a bike mounting standard that just clicks your accessories in securely, and then you need kind of like a key tool to detach them. Then it's, you know, more secure and very convenient. But then on the outside of that, it has like just a regular metal rack that's actually made out of almost like 30-30 extrusion or something, where it has a channel where you can pop T-nuts into the channel and bolt things to your bike, just like straight up use, like it's the same type of extrusion they put on 3D printers and stuff. So I actually had some of the T-nuts laying around to do stuff, and the first thing I did was, we have like a double size milk crate for, it's perfect for transporting like board games and stuff for for MegaCon or whatever. It's not quite as long as the space I have on the back, and I bolted that fucker on, and now I can put like two grocery bags in there, and that's not even
that's about the perfect size for for a double milk crate. Yeah,
it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun. I'm looking forward to taking out more, going further, and I mean, I've only had my birthday was yesterday. So I've
happy
had
birthday,
it,
Nick.
I've
everybody,
had, I've had it since Monday, and I've had, you know, like a driving home from the bike shop. Seat pole wasn't secured tight enough, so halfway through the ride, the seat slid down as low as it goes.
I've had that happen to me. That's the worst.
It really sucks.
I mean, maybe not the literal worst.
No,
but
it's really bad. Your knees are like up in your nuts.
My eye sockets. I was able to to drive it home without fixing the seat post because I just turned the assist up to 3 for the last mile and a half to get it the last leg home. And it was like, hee-hee, this is comical. I bet this looks really silly to watch, but it's actually, it's not comfortable, but it's not, you know, I'm not hurting myself by pedaling this bike wrong to get home. And it was kind of neat and awesome. I don't know. It's great. That's my boner.
Great.
Let's let us see your boners, audience. If they're actual literal boners, send them to dickpics@geeks.com. If they're metaphorical boners, though,
Send them to the same address. It's fine.
You can, you can send them to Nick, Tim, Molly, or all at geeksthegod.com.
Post them on our Facebook.
If there's something that you are nerdy and excited about that isn't on our radar, we want to know about it.
Absolutely.
Info dump a little. This is an open invitation. Tell us about your nerdy hobby, or project, or show, or movie, or whatever. Tell us about it. Post it on the Facebook page or send us an email. We want to hear about it.
Let's get parasocial, baby.
With that, we've been Geeks Without God, and we'll be back next week with more geeky, godless fun.
Bye!
Just one more question about your bike, Nick.
Oh, yeah?
How many books do you think you could fit on that thing?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter @geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We get to do something we don't get to do that often.